Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of Locked On Clippers. I'm your host, Lucas Hand. Today is Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. It's our second episode of the week. We're here Monday through Friday with new episodes every day, Locked On the Los Angeles Clippers. So today's a little bit of an offbeat day. I think we're going to keep it to a short-ish episode. We talked yesterday about sort of the Carmelo Anthony trade rumors and how that had gone over the weekend. We talked about the Clippers game on Saturday, and now we're here on Tuesday, which is their third straight day off in a row again. They had 3 days off. They played the Warriors. 3 days off again before they played now Suns and Warriors on a back-to-back. So we can get more into those games starting tomorrow. You know, Tuesdays are... The Clippers don't play a lot on Tuesdays. I'm looking because I have classes in my MA program on Tuesday nights, and I looked through the schedule when I signed up for classes when I took this Tuesday night class, and I actually have two Tuesday night classes, and so I looked to see how many games I'd be missing, and there's like, I missed the game last week against Philadelphia. I had to watch that on tape delay, and then I think there's only one more game in the semester on a Tuesday for the rest of the regular season. It's like they play every single Monday and Wednesday. They never play on Tuesdays. So that's, I mean, weird but interesting side note, I guess. But so yeah, we'll keep this episode brief. Just try to get, you know, it's kind of a waiting game, just getting to the Clippers' next actual game. It feels like they aren't, you know, they've played so many games for so long, you know, having like a game every 1.5 days in December and early January, and now it's like this huge break. So we'll just go through a couple things. First thing we talked about yesterday, DeAndre Jordan making his first ever NBA All-Star game, which is awesome for him. But one thing that's worth noting is that DeAndre Jordan said in the past that he wouldn't do the slam dunk contest because he didn't have a reason to go to All-Star Weekend. He said, if you give me a reason to go to All-Star Weekend, if I'm going to be there, then I'll do the slam dunk contest. Well, now he's going to be there. So when he was asked about it today at Clippers practice, he said he's interested and the NBA has invited him, but he has yet to decide. So let me just go on record saying I think it is an awesome idea and that DeAndre Jordan should definitely participate in the dunk contest. First of all, it's fun for us as fans to see DeAndre in the dunk contest. It's fun to see, you know, your team represented in as many events as possible. Second of all, for DeAndre, just from his personal perspective, if he really isn't going to do this, if he's not an all-star, this might be the only all-star appearance of his career. Realistically, it could be. So you don't want to miss this opportunity for whatever reason, because you're fatigued, because you're not feeling it. You know, the Clippers are in a losing streak right now, and maybe he's not super excited about it. But you don't want to lose out on this opportunity. And then, you know, 5 years down the line at the end of your career, think, wow, I never got a chance to do this. And the other thing is, even if he loses, and yeah, there's Aaron Gordon, who I don't know if you guys watched the dunk contest last year with Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. I'm not a big All-Star Weekend guy myself, but that dunk contest with Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine was so much fun. So much fun. It was the most fun one I can remember. And you know, Aaron Gordon probably would out-dunk DeAndre, I think. I don't think that's a controversial statement. But even if he loses in the first round, it's not like there's shame in losing the dunk contest. It's nothing. Oh, you lost. You know, and that never happens. So I think he should participate. I think that would be really cool. Now, I guess we'll just look generally at the standings, how the standings look and how the schedule looks going forward. The Clippers, actually, despite some recent losses, are only two games back from the Houston Rockets, which is like super cool, right? Because the Rockets were actually four games ahead of the Clippers earlier in the month, and I said, you know, the Clippers need to make up some ground if in this next stretch when Houston has a dense schedule, and Houston has, to their credit, obliged. Since we talked about the dense schedule, Houston has lost seven games. That's a lot of losses for a team that had nine beforehand. They only have 16 on the season. They've lost seven in the last couple of weeks, from January 11th. So the last 3 weeks or so, they've lost seven games. The problem is that they're coming out of that dense schedule patch. It's not like it's going to be super easy, but their upcoming opponents, after they have had yesterday off, tonight they play Sacramento, day off Atlanta, homestand, you know, they keep this homestand, Sacramento, Atlanta, Chicago, Orlando, one game road trip to Charlotte, at home versus Phoenix, at home versus Miami. Those are a bunch of games that they should win. They might lose one in that stretch, or maybe if they continue being tired, which it's the fatigue has definitely gotten to them lately, maybe they lose two in that stretch, but it's looking like a pretty easy February for them. After the All-Star break, they've got New Orleans, Minnesota, and Indiana. The Clippers, on the other hand, have a brutal February. They just have an awful February. And it's going to hurt them, I think. They've got eight games between now and the All-Star break. Or the eight games in the first 2 weeks of February, I should say, before the All-Star break, compared to six for Houston. But what's notable, I think, is that the Clippers have a five-game road trip, the Grammy road trip, before the All-Star break. And they're playing pretty much four good teams in that five-game road trip: Boston, Toronto, Charlotte, and Utah. And that Boston-Toronto on February 5 and 6 is a back-to-back. That's rough. And they play this week on Thursday. They have to play the Golden State Warriors again, who, of course, just beat them by 46 points last weekend. So that's probably a loss. And then coming out of the All-Star break, they have to play the Golden State Warriors again February 23rd. And then February 24th, their second game after the All-Star break, on a back-to-back, they have to go play the San Antonio Spurs. And even though the Clippers have played well against the San Antonio Spurs, that's a hard game. It's a really hard game on a back-to-back. And it's a really, really hard game when you're on a back-to-back and Chris Paul is still out. So what are the Clippers, I mean, what do they do? You know, they're going to lose games in this stretch. The best you can hope for, I think, is that Houston maybe loses two games in February. Maybe they lose to, like, Atlanta and Minnesota or Indiana. Maybe they lose two or three games, and that's, you know, the best case scenario. Houston could realistically sweep February. Houston could rattle off a 10-game winning streak and go into that March 1st game against the Clippers, where these two teams actually face each other on a 10-game win streak, where the Clippers are definitely losing two more games between now and then. They're going to lose to Golden State both times, for sure. I don't see, unless Golden State like has injuries or is resting guys or decides to find, I mean, The one thing with Golden State is that Golden State has a talent advantage over every team in the league. But you can't possibly be at your best 82 nights a year. The problem is they always get up to play the Clippers. They always do. So even though a team like Milwaukee, a team like Memphis can knock off Golden State when they're having a bad night, Golden State always gets up to play the Clippers. Maybe now that they obliterated them by 46, which is unlike anything we've seen, you know, in this matchup, even though the Warriors always dominated, 46 points is insane. Maybe now they'll take their foot off the gas and the Clippers can swing an upset. But I'm not hopeful, and I don't think it'll mean anything going forward. I think the Clippers are going to lose both those games. I mean, I've thought so all along that there's just not really, especially with Chris out, there's not a lot of reasonable hope for an upset. So then the question is, how much can Blake Griffin carry you in the other games? Can Blake Griffin carry the Clippers to wins in Boston and in Toronto, in Charlotte, in Utah, in New York, versus Atlanta, versus San Antonio? Yeah, he can. Does that mean he's going to carry you to wins in all of those games? Probably not. And I think the betting odds would say that he's not going to carry you to victory in all those games. But can he carry you to victory in some of them? Yeah. And what I think you have to hope for is you can't look at it like, okay, here's this 10-game stretch. Can we go 8-2, lose the Golden State games, and win every other game? Because getting those other 8 wins is pretty daunting, I think. But if you look at it, can we beat Boston tonight? Yes. Okay, next game. Can we beat Toronto tonight? Yes. Just go game by game, try to win them. The Golden State ones, you're not going to win. But every other game is winnable. Even if they're tough games, they're winnable games. And the Clippers, I've said they're going to have to win games that they don't have business winning. The Clippers don't have any business with going into Boston, Toronto back-to-back and winning without Chris Paul. But it's something that they have to do. They have to win that back-to-back without Chris Paul. Okay, guys. Sorry for a little quick blip in the recording there. I'm sure you just heard my dog bark. So I had to take a momentary break to go deal with him. I have a 8-year-old... German Shepherd mix, Belgian Malinois. I got him at the shelter. I live in New York. I got him at the Brooklyn Animal Control. He's a sweet little old man, but whenever I don't pay attention to him, he likes to bark. And he got left out in the living room with my roommates when I came back here to record, and then I guess he decided to come back, so he came and barked at my door. But now getting back on topic, the Clippers are 2 losses behind the Rockets. The Clippers and the Rockets play each other 2 more times. I think it goes without saying that if the Clippers want the 3 seed, they have to win those 2 games. Because if you lose, not only, you know, if you win those 2 games, you're basically tied. And you're looking at, and the Clippers have the tiebreaker, and you're looking at all these other games. What can the Clippers stay tied in the rest of their games? Can they lose the same amount as Houston? Once you lose one of those Houston games, now instead of each team having 18 losses, Houston only has 17 and the Clippers have 19. So you're 2 losses behind, and Houston has the tiebreaker. So you're really 3 losses behind. So you go from, can we lose the same amount of games as them, to can we lose 3 fewer games than them? You go from, hey, we can do this, we control our own destiny, to you basically need Houston to, you know, James Harden turns his ankle and misses 4 games and they lose all 4, or they have a locker room issue that causes a distraction and they lose a couple of games that they should win. You know, once you create that 3-game margin because of the tiebreaker, it's essentially a 3-game margin. This late in the season, that's hard to overcome. But if they can win both those head-to-heads, they still have a chance. Because then it just comes down to Houston's going to pull ahead more in February. I think that's inevitable. I think the Clippers might lose 2 more games than Houston does in February. So we might go into that March 1st matchup with the Clippers 4 losses behind. But if they win the 2 head-to-head, they have to make up 2 more, and then they'll have the tiebreaker. And Houston has a bunch of tough games. After that Clippers game, Memphis, San Antonio, Utah, Chicago, Cleveland. That's a rough patch. And then later, to finish out their schedule, they have Golden State twice at the end of March. Oklahoma City and Portland in that stretch, too. So they play actually Sunday, Oklahoma City, Tuesday, Golden State, Thursday, Friday, at Portland, at Golden State, back-to-back. And then, of course, Houston and the Clippers play for the last time of the season, April 10th, the second-to-last game of the year for both teams, which could prove actually very important for seeding. The Clippers, on the other hand, once they get through a rough patch in February, and then that, you know, at the very beginning of March, they've got some tough games, but really down the stretch in their last 20 or so games, let me read the schedule in reverse order, starting with the last game of the year. Sacramento, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Lakers, Phoenix, Washington, Sacramento, Utah, Dallas, Lakers, Knicks, Cavs, Nuggets, Milwaukee Bucks, Utah Jazz, Philadelphia 76ers. That goes back to March 11th. So there's a lot of games that you should win in there. Philly, I think you have to beat. You really should have beaten them the first time. Team like Milwaukee's a good team. It's not like you want to say, oh, they're a bad team, the Clippers are going to blow them out. But that's exactly the kind of game that the Clippers have to win if they really do want to catch Houston. They have to win games like against Milwaukee at home. Dallas twice should be two wins. Phoenix should be a win. The Lakers twice should be two wins. Denver should be a win. The Knicks should be a win. Sacramento's a win. Washington's a win. Sacramento twice, actually, two wins. So you're boiling it down to just a couple hard matchups in there. Two games against the Utah Jazz, which are both winnable ones, although the first one might be without Chris Paul. Cleveland's a tough game. And then those two games right at the very end, San Antonio and Houston. Although, who knows? At that point, I actually think San Antonio will have cemented the two seed, so they might be resting guys. But then this will be really interesting, actually, if it comes down to this point where Clippers and Rockets are close, but the Spurs have cemented the two seed, because the Spurs could try to beat the Clippers in that game to avoid the Clippers in the second round, because the Spurs have struggled against the Clippers. But either way, I think that's a stretch where the Clippers really can make up ground in the last 20 or so games of the season. You know, they could really... That Cleveland game's a tough one, but other than that, they could win like 18, 19 out of 20. And that's where you get into, you know, Houston has Golden State twice in a week. Do they drop two games? Can they lose an upset where they have a road back-to-back like New Orleans and Denver? Can they lose one of those games? Maybe. Like I said, it's going to take Houston losing to teams that the Clippers beat. So you've got these middling teams like Milwaukee or Minnesota or Portland. These are games that the Clippers have to beat this level of team if they want to catch Houston. And they have to hope that Houston loses. So, it's actually just as important every night when you watch to see, you know, if the Clippers win. Watch and see if the Rockets are losing, and see who the Rockets are playing. Because the Rockets are playing the Kings tonight while the Clippers have off. If they lose, now we go into February with the Clippers only one game back. That's pretty big. Or when the Clippers had a really bad loss, one of their losses last week, against, let's see, what game was it? I forget what game it was. There was a game where the Clippers lost a game that they should have won, but it happened to be on the same night that Houston lost a game that they should have won, and so it essentially was like a free loss for the Clippers. But they can't take those free losses. They need to take advantage of those Houston losses. That's what to look for going forward, I think, is find a loss for Houston, and the Clippers just have to, on their end, really take care of business. I think it's good to get a chance to kind of zoom out and look at the schedule and the seeding and the big picture a little more, because that's not always something that we get to do in the game by game. You know, we get caught up in the season sometimes, and having all these days off are a good chance to step back and look at the wider view. But I don't know, I'm definitely ready to have some basketball to watch and talk about again after these long breaks. And I think it'll be good for the Clippers following. You know, what really hurts about these Golden State losses is how much time off they have. That they have 3 days off, and then they get blown out, and then they have 3 days off, and then they play the Warriors again, and then they have 2 days off before they start their five-game road trip. So it's like constantly what's on the agenda, what's in their heads, is that they just lost these blowout games to a bitter rival, to the team that they have to get through if they want to achieve their goal, that they haven't been able to beat in 3 years. So I think it'll be a relief once we can get through this week, which is kind of slow with just the Wednesday, Thursday games, and get into next week. The Clippers have 4 games, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and just watch basketball again. It's been a long, I feel like the Clippers are hardly playing. It's like the off season or something. And we barely have much time before we get into the All-Star game. And then we're going to have to wait more days without the Clippers. That's a pain, man. I just want to watch the Clippers play basketball. The NBA needs to, what they really need to do is go away from like these crazy back-to-backs and 5-7s that make everyone tired. The writers get tired, the players get tired, the fans get tired. And just put a game like every other day. 1 day off game, 1 day off game, 1 day off game. Sometimes 2 days off to let them get rest. But there's really no need for 3 day breaks, except for maybe once or twice in a season. You definitely don't need 2 3-day breaks back-to-back with one game in between. And you don't need all these crazy back-to-backs that wear the players out, and teams are way worse on back-to-backs than in normal games, and it lowers the quality of the product of the league. It just doesn't make sense. But yeah, I think that's the show. We'll be back tomorrow, talk more about the Clippers-Suns game, get all set for that. But for now, this is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
It's a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how! At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.